Welcome, Michelle. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. All right. So I'm Michelle Rodriguez, and I am a primate biologist. So I study monkeys. Here's my little monkey illustration. Apes. And I'm a human. And I study all of these animals because we're all part of the primate order. And so the primate order is our larger family tree. And by studying our relatives, I can understand more about ourselves. And what I'm really interested in is how primates use friendship to help cope with stress. So when we're experiencing something difficult, we often seek our friends. So I want to understand how monkeys do that. So if I'm studying monkeys or I'm studying apes, I can observe their behavior, see who they're hanging out with, who they're grooming, who they're hugging. But to understand their biology, I have to do a little more challenging work. And so what happens is I study their stress hormones. And hormones are chemical messengers. If this gorilla is feeling stressed out, maybe there's something scary going on. There's little chemical messengers that go from his brain through his body in his bloodstream that tells his body to put more sugar in his blood. Really useful if he needs to fight someone or run away. But you can't exactly ask a non-human primate how they're feeling and if they're feeling stressed out. But what happens is they then poop out all the yucky stuff they don't need in their body, but we have the leftover stress hormones. And so I will collect poop or pee or sometimes saliva, and then we can study those kind of yucky leftovers for the important information about those chemical messages. And that can tell us how they're actually feeling without having to ask them and understand what that means.
Awesome. So what made you want to study primates?
So I was always interested in animals and animal behavior. When I was little, I was obsessed with whales. I thought I was going to study how baby dolphins grow up and how baby humpback whales learn to sing. And I'm still interested in basically a lot of the same things, only now I got into primates. And the reason for that was I took classes in college that were looking at what apes think and how we can understand that. And that got me really interested in studying the primates. It also means that I don't have to spend time on boats because I prefer to be on dry land.
Nice. What are there any species of primates that are protected?
Yeah, so there's a lot of primates that are endangered. About 60% of identified primate species are now endangered or critically endangered. And so that means that there's a lot of conservation efforts to try and protect them. Since the late 1970s, there's been laws that prohibit exporting them. And there's a lot of conservation programs going on to try and keep them healthy.
Awesome. Hope that they do better than they were doing right now. So do you think that primates want to communicate with us?
I think it depends. With wild primates, some of them do. Some of them would just rather be left alone. There are some primates that live in really urban areas, such as, especially in Asia, there are temple monkeys that are used to being fed by humans. They interact. They can read our behavior pretty well. They can also manipulate us. We have to be really careful. But they communicate when they want to. They don't always have to. In captivity, though, primates are used to having humans that are working with them, so they do communicate. And it really is important for anyone that's working with primates to be able to read their communication, read their body language, and understand what they're saying. Because if you're working with a primate that doesn't understand what you want, they can get a little upset. So there was one time that I used to work with expat monkeys that were in a sanctuary. And so we never interact with them directly without a barrier in between us. But we had these, we fed them, and they have these little kind of runway tunnels that go between different enclosures. And there was one monkey that would keep on throwing primate biscuits at me. And she'd get really frustrated with me. And it turns out she wanted me to throw them back and play catch. But she'd get so frustrated. And she just like, when I was missing it or not figuring out what she wanted me to do.
It's like reverse, you trying to teach your dog how to play fetch, but someone's trying to get you to play fetch with them. That's so funny. how many species of primates are there?
There's over 200, about, I'd say 250, but that depends how we classify them. And that's something that's always changing.
Yeah. So where do you work and where do you collect all this poop and pee and saliva?
So I've worked in a few different places. A lot of my research has been in the rainforests of Costa Rica, and that's where I studied spider monkeys. I've also worked in zoos. So I've done research at the Brookfield Zoo in the Chicago area, Columbus Zoo in Ohio, the North Carolina Zoo in North Carolina. Next year, hopefully starting up research at the Milwaukee Zoo. And there I can study a variety of different primates, but I mostly focus on chimpanzees, bonobos, and spider monkeys.
Cool. Are there rules in using non-human primates in clinical studies?
Yes, there's a lot of rules. Basically, before you can study primates in captivity or in the wild, you need to make sure you fill out some ethical forms. So different universities and institutions have a committee that's set up to do ethical reviews. And so you have to justify everything you're doing. So even for wild research, we have to go through review that they'll ask, you know, they want to make sure that you're not doing anything that's going to negatively affect the environment or the animal's behavior. If you're doing anything invasive, they want to know all the details and it goes out for a more stringent review. But even observational research, we still need to make sure that we're fulfilling all those ethical requirements.
Cool. We have to do the same thing with squid. So when you're saying that you look at the poop and pee and saliva, like what does it mean to look at them? Like how are you getting data out of that?
All right. So the first thing we have to do is we have to extract the hormones. So when I study poop from Costa Rican monkeys, I don't want to have to take an entire poop sample out of the country because it didn't have the storage for that. But what I could do is we extract it into ethanol, which is a type of alcohol. And then the hormones come loose from the poo and we basically can discard the actual poo. And then there's a little cartridge with silica that holds on to the hormone. And you can keep it just in a Ziploc and keep it in a cooler at, well, room temperature, rainforest room temperature, and then take it back when you're done. When I'm studying urine or saliva in the US, what I do is I freeze it. And then when we're in a lab, then we do what are called hormone assays. And it's basically a series of chemical reactions where then we can compare what each of the hormones measure in our samples to what are already known values.
Cool. How do you classify a primate?
So the important thing for primates is you want to look at their really distinguishing features. So one thing is primates, we have five fingers and toes, but on those fingers and toes, we usually have nails instead of claws. So if you look at your dog or your cat, they have claws. The majority of primates have these flat nails. And if you look underneath at your fingers, all primates have fingerprints. And we use them for identification, but the reason that primates have fingerprints is it helps to grip. So if you're a monkey hanging in the tree, if you didn't have fingerprints, your fingers would slip. But with those fingerprints, you get a better grip. And there's even spider monkeys, as well as a couple other primates that can hang from their tail, what's called a prehensile tail. They even have a little bear patch under their tail that has like a tail print.
I had no idea. That's so cool. What's your favorite primate? And then what's your favorite primate that you've personally worked with?
So my favorite primates are spider monkeys, but bonobos are very, very close seconds.
Nice.
And my favorite, it's really hard to pick just one favorite. So we'll go with three favorites. my favorite wild spider monkey was a spider monkey named Leela. And she really liked to hang out around the field station. So she was one of the easiest to follow. Sometimes when we're putting our boots on in the morning, she'd go feed in the trees right up the station and it'd be like, I'm ready for you to follow me. And then my two favorite captive bonobos at the Columbus Zoo are Susie and Lady. And bonobo females are really interested in when there's new visitors to the group and new females. And so when I started studying them, Susie was the first to kind of come over to the window and be like, I want to be your friends. And Lady was a little more shy, but she also joined in later on. And so they're my two bonobo buddies.
Awesome. How long have you been studying primates?
Let's see, since 2002. So I guess that's 18 years this summer.
Wow. The time goes by so fast. do you have a team that you work with or do you mostly work alone?
It depends. So in different research projects, you usually have several people you're working on, but right now I have so many different research projects with different people, but for my graduate research, there was a lot of time where I was the only one actually collecting data. At some points I did have field assistants, but sometimes it was just me going out into the forest following the monkeys. Other times I had assistants that helped me out with collecting poop samples and helping me find and identify monkeys.
Cool. So when you're collecting the poop, are you like watching a monkey, waiting for it to poop and then going and grabbing the poop, or just like finding poop and being like, oh, I know that's spider monkey poop and grabbing it?
So for it to be usable, I have to make sure I know who pooped it out and that it's an individual I need. So when I was studying this spider monkeys and collecting their poop, I was only collecting from identified females. And so I had to make sure I knew who was pooping. I had to make sure that I could identify that I saw this individual up in the tree pooping, and that is whose poop I'm picking up on the ground. And so because spider monkeys tend to be high up on the trees and they also like to poop while they're moving, this can be a challenge. Sometimes the poop hits leaves and scatters in different places. So it is kind of challenging. Other times you'll see them poop right over a creek or in the swamp. And then you sometimes just see that poop sink down and then you know it's lost.
That sounds really hard. So what does like one day in your job look like?
So it depends. Right now, or at least what I've been doing the past few years, as I've been working in a lab studying humans, studying their urine. And so on a typical lab day, what I'll do is I go into the lab, I take all the samples I need to defrost, and then I start setting up all the protocols that I need for the day, and then preparing materials. And then running the assays basically means that I use a little pipette to pipette tiny bits of liquid into tiny little wells over and over again. And then the rest of the day is basically processing those all day, and then at the very end, reading it with some computer software to see if it worked out. When I'm studying monkeys in the field, it's a little more variable, but a lot more fun. Then it's, you know, I wake up and I get ready and have my binoculars, my backpack, and I just walk out into the forest and I look for monkeys. And sometimes the monkeys are right there. Other times I don't know where the monkeys are and I can't find them. In that case, I just have to search the forest. With spider monkeys, they love ripe fruit, and there's certain fruit trees that fruit at different times. So when I know where those trees are and which trees are popular, I can basically do kind of a circuit around the trails and off trail looking for the really popular trees. But spider monkeys are kind of a challenge to study because they don't travel all together in one group. Some monkeys, like say capuchin monkeys, will all be together in a group. So if you find one of them, you find a whole group. With spider monkeys, they have what's called fission-fusion social organization. And it's similar to what we have. There's a bigger community, but individuals don't have to always spend time with everyone. They can go off by themselves. They can go visit with friends for a couple hours. They can join up. Sometimes there's big, what I call party trees, where there's a big tree that has lots of fruit. So lots of monkeys will get together then, and then it really is, it's kind of a party for them. But the thing with that is that means that sometimes when I find one monkey, it's only one monkey, or it's only two or three together. So sometimes that can be a bit challenging.
Cool. Do monkeys have best friends?
Yes, I think they do. I studied friendship in my spider monkeys, and within the first few months, my field assistants and I would refer to these two monkeys, Leela and J-Lo, as the BFFs, because they seem to be hanging out more than any other two monkeys. And at the end of my research, I analyzed all their social networks and their friendship patterns. And yes, it turns out J-Lo and Leela were spending more time together and grooming and huddling with each other more than any other two monkeys. But there still were some other pairs that were probably similar to that, where there was, say, Houdini and Buttercup really liked to hang out together and didn't like to hang out as much with everyone else.
Do you ever find different types of monkeys gathering together?
Yes. And so the cool thing is the forest in Costa Rica, there are howler monkeys, capuchin monkeys, and spider monkeys. And they're all different species. They're all a little different, but they do encounter each other. Sometimes they're friendly with each other. Sometimes they're not friendly. There was one of the juvenile spider monkeys I studied spent more time playing with capuchin monkeys than he did spider monkeys. And I've seen a juvenile spider monkey go up to a big male howler monkey and just reach out and groom. And the howler, and this is an adult howler monkey, he's just like, he looks at her and he just moves away. But then other times, a lot of the aggression the juvenile spider monkeys were experiencing was from capuchins chasing them. Sometimes I've seen adult female spider monkeys and howler monkeys fight. But sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're not. I think they recognize other monkeys as being kind of like themselves, but a little bit different. But they do see each other as potential friends or enemies to interact with.
Cool. Why are baboon butts purple?
There's a couple different things that we can be thinking about when we think about baboon butts. And you're probably thinking of female baboons that have this reddish purplish swelling. And what happens then is it's basically a way of their hormones creating colors and shapes that tell all the other baboons what's going on. So female baboons go through a cycle, and when they're ready for mating, their butt, thanks to some of their hormones, gets brighter red and puffs up. There's a few other animals that have this too, chimpanzees and bonobos do. And that big, puffy, reddish, purplish butt is basically a big advertisement like, hey boys, look at me. I am interested in mating right now. And that doesn't mean she's necessarily wants to mate with everyone, because females can be very choosy, but it's a way of kind of advertising that and putting that out there. It's kind of like for humans, if I decided to put on a very nice dress and put on my lipstick and be like, I'm ready to go out. But not all primates do that. Some prefer to keep it all hidden, so they don't have any signs. Spider monkeys don't. And the other thing with butts that can be going on is what we see with mandrills. So mandrills have bright red and blue butts and bright red and blue faces. And that's kind of similar, but it's a different hormone that's creating the color. So with the males, when they're in really good health and their testosterone, which is a hormone that guides a lot of male behavior, is really high, those butts and faces get really bright. But if, say, that male ends up losing fights, is not at his competitive best, and his testosterone goes down or he's sick, it ends up fading. And that's kind of a sign that's like, hey, I'm not quite as healthy as I used to be.
Cool. So what's something that you personally have discovered during your time as a scientist?
So I think my big exciting personal discovery was spider monkeys using tools. So there's a lot of animals, including primates, that use tools, but it's sometimes not something we see a lot. And with the spider monkeys at my site, we had 3 observations of spider monkeys taking a stick, breaking it off, and using it as a tool. So my colleague observed this twice. I observed it once. Basically, one of the juvenile females I was studying, she took this stick and broke it off. She chewed on the end so that the end frayed. And then she took that stick and she scratched the underside of her tail and her butt. She wiggled a little and she's basically using it to scratch an itch. And it was really adorable.
So cute.
But it's exciting because that tells us a lot of what they're capable of thinking.
Totally. That's awesome. So what's your favorite part about your job?
So I'd say I have 2 favorite things. My number one favorite thing is observing primates. It's just a lot of fun. And my other favorite thing is working with students and helping them to kind of figure out what about science makes them happy and excited and interested in coming up with new questions and finding out how to actually go about answering those questions.
Cool. What are some things that humans have in common with all other primates?
As I mentioned before, I mentioned the hands and the nails. There's also primates have forward-facing eyes, and we have what's called stereoscopic vision. And that's where the 2 pictures from our eyes come together to allow us to see in 3D. This is really important. Without 3D vision, if someone threw you a ball, you would struggle with catching it. We think that this evolved because it helps primates to better navigate the trees so they don't fall. But that's one of the most characteristic traits. And when we look at their skulls, we can see they have what's called either postorbital bar, which is just like a little bit of bone here, or complete postorbital closure where their eye sockets are closed. And some other animals don't have that.
Cool. What do you think like the hardest part of your job is?
Oh, there's a lot of hard parts. I think for me,
finding what's poop been really hard.
Collecting poop was not easy. But I think the hardest part right now is just having both kind of the time and the funding to line up to be able to go do more of the research I've wanted to do. Like, I haven't been to Costa Rica in years now. It's been almost every summer I'm hoping it will happen, but it's either I have other commitments or, well, this year my friend and I applied for a grant, we didn't get it. Right now it looks like that's the best because this would not be a good summer to travel, but it keeps on getting put off because it's just harder to get away to do that research.
Yeah, that is hard. So do you have any scientific heroes?
I have a lot. Jane Goodall is, of course, one of the primatologists I first heard about. And right when I was getting into primatology, I'd read her books. Mae Jemison has been one of my big heroes, and I got to meet with her and work with her a bit about a year and a half ago on some issues for better supporting women in science. So that was really exciting. Also, my master's and PhD advisors, Jill Preetz and Don Kitchen, have been huge inspirations to me.
Cool. Can primates swim?
Some of them can. Often we don't see a lot of it, but there are some primates that can be kind of afraid of water. For example, chimps used to be thought of afraid of water, but now we know there are some populations that will at least wade. But there's some rhesus monkeys that do swim. So I used to study in Puerto Rico, there's a colony of free-ranging rhesus monkeys. And they were originally from India in the 1930s. They brought them over to study them. And there was a couple different islands where this happened. And so the island I was on still has an active colony that they're studying. But there were other colonies that basically the research stopped, and they stopped feeding the monkeys. And so the hungry monkeys ended up, during low tide, swimming to the mainland of Puerto Rico. And now in the southwest in Puerto Rico, they have a problem with these menace free-ranging monkeys that raid farms because the humans didn't have a plan to feed them.
Oh dear. What do monkeys eat?
So monkeys eat a variety of foods. Different primates have different diets. A lot of them do like fruit. So spider monkeys and chimps and bonobos really love ripe fruit. They also do like their veggies. So some primates eat just a little bit of leaves. Some primates, like howler monkeys, eat a ton of leaves. Then there are also some primates that like protein from insects or small animals, or occasionally for some primates, larger animals. So some primates forage a lot on insects that are in bark. Chimpanzees and bonobos do hunt. Sometimes they hunt monkeys, which is not really fun for the researchers to have to watch, but it is kind of interesting watching the cooperative behavior that goes into a hunt.
Wow, that sounds intense. Do primates enjoy playing games like we do?
They do. Primates love to play, and we think that play is one of those things that's really important because it tells about learning. Some animals don't play as much as they grow older, but a lot of primates do. Little primates love to play like chase and wrestle games. You've probably at various points seen videos of primates in the zoos where, like, you'll have like an older mom or aunt or dad holding an infant up and playing airplane. They love to play games. They like to invent games. They're a lot like human kids.
Awesome. So what primate is the most like humans?
So the primates that are the most like humans are chimpanzees and bonobos. And they're basically our closest cousins. And they're more closely related to each other than they are to us. But sometimes if you don't know them well and you see that they kind of look a bit furry and hairy and weird, you don't recognize that, but the more time you spend watching them, the more you see kind of the way they think like us and how much they actually are observing us and sometimes trying to influence us. They can outsmart us so many times when we don't realize it. So that's really fascinating, but they're very close to us.
Cool. Are there any two species of primates that can mate together and then have like a hybrid sort of situation?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different hybrid situations that can go on, and usually it's between animals that had a common ancestor and started going their separate way, but haven't completely gotten there. So in Mexico, there's two species of howler monkeys, the mantled howler and the black howler, and they can interbreed. There's also in Africa a couple species of baboons that can interbreed. Occasionally you see even more rare hybrids in captivity. So for example, at Brookfield Zoo in Chicago, there used to be a mandrill city mangabee hybrid, and it was really interesting because she had kind of like a little bit of a mandrill face but more of a city mangabee body.
That's wild. How is climate change affecting primates?
Unfortunately, climate change is not good for primates. And part of that is a lot of primates already live in these really tropical areas that they're very dependent on forests. And anything that's going to affect the size of the forest, how much fruit that forest is producing, is something that can be harmful to primates. And primates actually are helping us to fight climate change because their biology actually helps maintain the forest. So for example, in the Amazon, spider monkeys eat ripe fruit, but they often swallow the seeds whole. And there's research that has shown that seeds that are pooped out actually have better chances of growing than seeds that haven't been pooped out. And it's not just that, because they travel really far and wide, they take those seeds that are in their digestive system far away from the parent tree. So their pooping and traveling basically is gardening the entire rainforest. So they're helping to maintain and keep that rainforest going. And since trees are so important for releasing carbon dioxide, absorbing the carbon dioxide, producing oxygen, and helping maintain our ecosystem, they're actively fighting climate change. But it's hard when we have humans that are often cutting down trees and encroaching on their spaces.
Yeah. So do primates try to interact with you out in the field? And have they ever, you told us about the monkey that was throwing biscuits at you in the zoo, but that was a pet monkey. So did the wild monkeys ever throw things at you or try to interact with you?
So the wild monkeys throw branches. They don't throw poo. That's something that only happens in captivity. But if wild monkeys find you threatening, they will throw branches at you to basically tell you to go away. And so when I first started studying the monkeys in Costa Rica, females with infants would just flee. They were so terrified of me. And the adult males would usually shake branches and then throw branches at me. And they have good aim.
Oh boy.
So in that point, you just kind of have to like wait and very slowly go into the forest so that they recognize you as familiar. This process is called habituation. And once they're at the point where they recognize you and they realize you're not a threat, then they just kind of go about their business. They haven't tried to interact with me, and I try and always make sure that I stay 10 meters away just to make sure that I'm not transmitting any diseases or being a threat to the babies. And because spider monkeys are usually up in the trees, that's usually not so hard. It's much harder with primates that are on the ground more often. They do whinny at me though. So spider monkeys have a contact call called the whinny. Let me see if I can do it. It's like, and that's how they talk back and forth. And it's kind of like, hey, are you there? Hey, I'm here. They will whinny in response to howlers howling. They'll whinny in response to humans laughing or coughing or sneezing. And then when they whinny at you and you're laughing, you end up laughing even more. They have occasionally, I once told Leela I loved her and she whinnied back. I mean, she's probably just responding to me vocalizing in turn, but that made my day.
That's so cute. Yeah. What do primate homes look like?
So primates live in the trees, and so they don't kind of have or build homes the way we do. Most primates, they'll sit down and kind of hunker down on branches, or if they're more terrestrial, they'll kind of hunker down on comfortable places on the ground. However, apes do build nests. What they do, usually they're in the trees. Occasionally they can build a ground nest, but they take kind of branches and leaves and fold them together and create kind of a cozy little nest that they can hang out in.
Do primates sneeze?
Yes, they do.
Cool. I know we sneeze. So do we know if other primates also get coronavirus?
So yes, we do. From lab monkeys, particularly rhesus macaques, they can be infected by it. There's still, we don't know a lot about how severely, and there's probably ongoing research in that. But a lot of primates are very susceptible to the same diseases we are. And I definitely am a little worried about other apes, because apes are very sensitive to a lot of the human respiratory viruses that we have, but their immune systems often aren't prepared for it. So what could be, say, a human that just has a mild cold could end up being a much more severe infection for them. So right now it's very important for keepers that are working with captive animals and for anyone that's studying in the wild to make sure that they're following really strict protocol of always staying 10 meters away or wearing protective mask and gloves to make sure that they're not giving anything to the animals.
Cool. So what can we do to help primates?
So one of the things that we can do to help primates is to look at what we're eating and what we're consuming and understanding how that relates to primate habitats. So for example, I'm sure there's a lot of people that like eating bananas or pineapple. Those come mostly from Central America. A lot of that plantation is what used to be primate habitat that's been cut down, and those industries are not good for the monkeys. Similarly, one product that's in a bunch of our ramen and snack foods and beauty products and all sorts of things is palm oil. And that is something that's extracted from this oil palm. And it's really useful in human foods because it helps keep the fats that stable at room temperature. So where you couldn't use butter because it would go bad, you can put it in a product and keep it on the shelf for a long period of time. But because of that industry being so popular and in such demand, there's been plantations that have cut down huge amounts of orangutan forest and is now expanding into a lot of other habitats. Also, one thing we can do is be very careful about what sort of videos or pictures we're liking and sharing. Some videos and pictures are from zoos or good sanctuaries or the wild, and they're really fun. But there is also people that have primates in bad conditions, either as pets or for entertainment, that then will take videos of them and share pictures to basically build up a business. And that's bad for the animals because those are really abusive situations. And the best way to tell that is you don't ever want to like or share anything that has the animals dressed up or interacting in human contacts. If it's aside from where it's very clear it's, say, a zookeeper in a zoo, you don't want to have the primates and the humans in the same place. Humans should usually keep their distance. Of course, there are some wild places like those temple monkeys where there are some human-monkey interactions. But if you ever get to travel to a temple, it's not a good idea to feed the monkeys. It's a very bad idea to let monkeys climb on you. Often there's people that will keep primates specifically to like pose with tourists, and that's very bad. So we want to make sure that we appreciate primates from a distance rather than up close, and we don't want to encourage anyone else that's interacting up close.
Cool. Do primates cry?
So they tear the way that we do when there's like something in their eye. They don't emotionally cry. So like if a chimp or a spider monkey's upset, they're not gonna tear in response to that being upset. If they have tears, it's usually there's something irritating their eye.
That's weird that only we do that. There's so many, primates, man, so weird. How long generally do primates live for?
So it depends on the species, but most primates live a pretty long life. So For chimps, I would say maybe the average lifespan is around 40 to 50 years, but there's chimps that have been older in captivity. Same thing with gorillas. The oldest gorillas in captivity have died close to about 60 years. With spider monkeys, in the wild, they only live about 20 to 30 years, but the record used to be 44 years in captivity. That's now been surpassed. There's, I think, a couple 50-year-olds in one of the New England zoos. So primates generally live a long time. The smaller-bodied ones tend to have shorter lifespans, and the bigger ones tend to have lifespans closer to us.
Cool. What do you think about the Planet of the Apes movies?
So I have not actually seen any of them, not the old ones, not the new ones. I haven't watched them because I worry that I'm going to find them stressful, because anytime I see primate behavior being portrayed in ways I think are not right, I get very upset. And so I haven't been brave enough to watch them.
I totally understand. I have a pet peeve that if squid have mouths that are like on their faces and not like in their tentacles, that bothers me. I don't know. I understand completely. Okay, so we try to have these last about 45 minutes. We've got 4 minutes left. So we've got two questions that we ask everybody. One, if there's one thing that you wish everybody in the world knew about your area of expertise, what is that? And then if there's one thing you wish everybody knew about literally anything, just one piece of information that you wish everybody in the world knew, what would that be?
Okay, so first, one thing that I would want everyone to know about primates is that they are our relatives, and we have so much in common, and that's because we descended from a common ancestor. And sometimes I think people look at, say, chimps in the zoo, and they see the similarities, but they also see that they're hairy, and sometimes they're throwing poop or something like that, and they're like, oh, that's yucky, and they don't want to see that commonality, because it's kind of that uncanny valley feeling where it makes people uncomfortable. But if you kind of sit there and watch and wait and get over that, then you end up seeing how much we have in common and how similar they actually are to us. And I think just in general, and this is something related to my research, but one of the big things that's come out that's so important to me is that friendship is so important. It's like, it makes us feel good and we like it, but it's more than that. It is actually really important to our health. There's now a huge amount of research that's shown that like being socially connected and having friends has a big difference in our health, in our healthy aging, and how old we grow. And it really, friendship is how we survive. And it's really important, especially when things are tough and we're stressed or things are scary, that we reach out and make sure we maintain those social connections.
Awesome. Now is as important a time for that as ever, huh?
Yes.
Really stressful. Okay, sounds good. So thank you all for joining us, and thank you for teaching us so many things about primates. This has been super cool and super informative and really fun. So, and of course, Erin, as always, thank you for signing. You're amazing. Okay, we are doing this again tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow is Thursday because today's Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so tomorrow's Thursday. We're doing, I really shouldn't be looking up what we're doing tomorrow, but we're doing a thing tomorrow that is bats. We're doing bats tomorrow at noon.
Exciting.
Yeah, I love bats, so I'm super excited about that. We will see you here tomorrow. If you can donate, please do. We really appreciate it. We are on a shoestring budget and doing our best to bring science to the masses. So great. Thanks for joining us.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.